can have all the jobs and, let's say, enjoyments and, let's say, vacancies that she is interested in, at the same time to be a good house of the family, a good mother of the family. Because if we are going to prioritize the duties, so what is of the first and high and first and foremost priority for a lady? To give birth, to give life to a child, and to be the center of the house, and to actually play the role of a mother. Later it goes to the second and third and fourth, let's say, ranks that she can think about that. So if we see that some Islamic scholars and even the leader of the Islamic revolution says this, that the lady, the woman, should take it into account that being a housewife is very important. It does not necessarily mean that she has not to choose or, let's say, select the other jobs as a duty. No, we can collect between them. We have seen, for example, Lady Fatima salam alayhi, at the same time that she was the house the housewife for Imam Ali alayhi salam, and at the political critical times, she came into the society, and even she gave lectures and she gave sermons to the Islamic Ummah. I mean, she played the role of political woman at that time in the city state of Medina. If we consider that environment and we want to transfer it to our today's life, so she could be, for example, a great and high-ranking political lady of the time, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, she was a good mother for Hassanain and Zainabain. So we are taking our role model from her. So this is a lady that we are talking about, like Lady Zainab Salam Allah Aliha. At the same time that she was a teacher before her marriage in Kufa, okay, she was a professional teacher that she was teaching Al-Quran and Tafsir, right? And even at the time of the tragedy of Karbala, she became a nurse at some times. Later, she became a guardian for some. See, the different roles that she has adopted in different levels of her life, so it means that ladies are open to take any responsibility that actually suits them, and they are able and capable to do that.
If you allow me, I'll take a more, I think, original a level before this discussion, right?
Yeah,
a different approach to this. What really defines the purpose of a thing or a person? For example, you don't use a fridge as a stove, don't you? You don't use a stove as a washing machine. You use each one of these devices for the purposes they were made. They were engineered, right? Likewise, let's look at look at mankind. When God created mankind, both male and female, he created them differently. Male has a different structure than a female does, right? So the question arises, what does this structure entail in the society? If this structure is to be different, why is it different? And if it's different, what responsibilities does each structure hold? Man, and considering the majority of the males in the world, they generally have a more stronger body in terms of, their power in, enforcing things than a woman. That's why you don't find a woman who is a bricklayer.
Yeah.
Right? Women are normally in more of a soft profession. But when you go to banks or when you go for cooks and stuff, you'll find a lot of female.
This is the part of a speech of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, on March 19, 2017. Fatimatu Zahra, God's greetings be upon her, was an Islamic woman. A woman at the highest level of Islamic standards and at the level of a leader. But the same woman who could have been a prophet in terms of spirituality and virtue used to carry out her motherly and wifely duties, and she used to do the housework. These things should be understood. What should one say to these ignorant and deceived individuals? They copy the statements that Westerners make. They should not belittle housework so much. Women's housework means cultivating individuals and producing the best and loftiest product of the universe, that is, humanity. Housework means this, but today our society needs to know what being a mother and a homemaker means. It needs to know what being an excellent homemaker means. With that position and with that status and greatness, Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra was a homemaker. This is not a source of humiliation for her. With that greatness, she cannot be humiliated. Can this greatness be belittled? So her greatness is preserved, but one of the aspects and duties of that greatness was being a spouse, a mother, and a homemaker. We should look at these concepts with such an outlook.
Is you're telling me about some physical features that, you know, is not needed, for example, a kind of mental activity. For example, I want to be a novelist, as an example, just, okay, I want to win the Nobel Prize, but here, this is my brain, which is working.
Yeah, like Brother Ali mentioned, it's all about priorities. You see, the thing is, your body structure entails a responsibility for you. And in plus this responsibility that you get from this body structure, you also have other responsibilities considering the situation around you. For example, you have there is no female doctor in the society that you're living in right now, right?
Yeah.
You have that potential to become a doctor. Then it becomes wajibi kifai, it becomes obligatory on you to become a doctor. This is what Islam is saying. But again, look at the priorities. When you look at woman on itself, not considering other special situations, woman itself has to be the caretaker of the home as the number one priority, looking at the structure of the woman. The same, likewise, the man has to be the breadmaker of the home as the first priority of the man. But that's why we have to consider both ways.
I know what you mean, but let me tell you something. You are telling me your point of view because, I don't know, you're a man or something. I don't know what is the reason, but every woman, I have to tell you that there is a kind of, I don't know, feeling and atmosphere. Like, for example, if I work outside of the house, I don't know, I'm more powerful, I'm better. And, you know, my mother is a housewife. And, you know, she doesn't work out of the home at all.
Does she have the same thinking?
No, she's really different with me. She's really
so
different with me.
Because you said every woman thinks so.
No, I didn't tell that.
Yeah, refer to really. You 1 minute before.
Thank you. Okay. So, I didn't mean to generalize anything, but my mother is a housewife, and she is only in the house, and I know we have a lot of conflict about that, but I have nothing to do with that. But one of, I don't know, my relatives, who is a woman too, which she works outside the house, told her that, oh, you are always in the house. What do you do? What do you do with your time? And, you know, my mother got really upset at that time.
Yeah, because she's devaluating her job.
There is this background between women. Mm-hmm. You are men and you're looking at this, I don't know, phenomena so beautifully, but it's not that much beautiful.
Mm-hmm. No, because you've devaluated it. That's the perception of the society. Unfortunately, this cultural revolution that's happening, industrial revolution, which is making man and woman equal, they look at what man does as, you know, in perfection and what woman does as imperfection. That's not the true thing.
Yeah, I'm not telling that even.
Ask a question.
Fulfilling the responsibilities equally are perfect.
Can you measure prosperity? Can you measure happiness? Can you measure generosity? Can that lady actually measure the kind of happiness that your mom has with you at home, with you and your dad and your family?
This is what I mean.
So this is not something that she can actually evaluate and measure. That's why she lacks it. And she wants it to actually criticize your mom that, okay, you don't have it. Look, if you are prosperous and if you have happiness, you cannot show it. You can, as at the same time that you cannot show your pain, let's say.
Yeah.
So if you are saying that I'm in pain and my head is aching, I cannot believe you because I'm saying, no, I cannot see the pain in you. So she cannot see the happiness that your mom has while she is at home with you and family and enjoys her life. The same lady, if you go and check, I don't know if she's criticizing that he's working and she's very happy and she's asking others to go and work. If you go and check and actually scrutinize her life, you will understand that she lacks all those beauties and all those happinesses and prosperity that your mom have.
Yeah, I have to deny this thing because you are telling me that that person was black and my mom was white, but I think all the people are gray. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing is... the thing which I want to tell you is exactly the thing you told me up to here. You are telling me that my mom feels happy with being home, staying home. Okay, this is the way she is.
Okay.
And I am different.
You can be different. Who stopped you from being different?
All the people. You know, you are telling me that. No.
No. You see, I think the main... What I can express.
No, I want to even encourage you to be outside. I mean, to choose your. I mean, the subject that you have chosen for yourself.
No, let me tell you the problem. All the people think that you can have both. You can have be in the house. You have, I don't know, have husband and so on. But and mm-hmm. at the same time, you can be a good physician. But this is not what I want. You know, I have more ambition, which I don't want to talk. I talk so personally in this discussion. But I want to do big things, and for doing big things, you have to sacrifice. Yeah,
but
many
what
things.
Makes you mm-hmm. think that physician is a big thing, but having taking care of the home is not
this
a big
is personal.
Thing? Yeah, I understand, but no. I'm trying to get back to this point that our perception, our cultural perception, has changed so much after this industrial revolution and this movement of feminism that we perceive what man does as perfection and ideal and better than what woman does, which is not completely true. A man has a responsibility and he has to fulfill that responsibility. Whoever fulfills that the responsibility that person has, whether it be male or female, they are moving towards perfection.
But
if me as a as a bread maker of the family, I do my best in doing my bread making, then I've become perfect in that I'm moving towards perfection. And if my wife, for example, she is has a responsibility of a homemaker, right, and she's moving towards that responsibility, fulfilling that responsibility, she's moving towards perfection. Both have the same value when you look at the layer below that. Though the works are different, the tasks are different, what needs to be fulfilled are different, but once it's fulfilled, the values are actually either the same or sometimes, depending on how well it's fulfilled, it's going to be even better.
Thank you for being here with me. Yeah. It was a pleasure. And thank you, dear listeners, for listening to us. It was all the time we had for today's episode. I wish you farewell. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. Ummati, yaquluha lana yawm al-qiyamati. Ummati, yaquluha shafa'atan ana laha.
In the limelight. In the United States, the seven states that rely on the drought-stricken Colorado River failed to meet a 31st of January federal deadline to strike a deal on voluntarily cutting their water use. After negotiations reached a standstill, six of the seven states, namely Arizona, Colorado, Nevada, New Mexico, Utah, and Wyoming, submitted a consensus-based modeling alternative. We take a look at the U.S. media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The website of CNBC has covered this story and tells us more. The seven states that rely on the drought-stricken Colorado River failed to meet a 31st of January federal deadline to strike a deal on voluntarily cutting water use, an impasse that could eventually prompt the Biden administration to impose cuts as the Western United States grapples with a historic drought and record low reservoir levels. After negotiations reached a standstill, six of the seven states dependent on the Colorado River instead submitted a proposal to the Bureau of Reclamation that outlined ways to reduce water use and factored in water that's lost because of evaporation and leaky infrastructure. The proposal, titled the Consensus-Based Modeling Alternative, was jointly submitted by Arizona, Colorado, Nevada, New Mexico, Utah, and Wyoming. The proposal notably excluded California, the largest user of the Colorado River water, which supplies water to 40 million people. Officials said the state will release its own plan. The six states document outlined an approach to help protect Glen Canyon Dam and Hoover Dam infrastructure, water deliveries and power production, and prevent the Colorado River's reservoirs from reaching Deadpool, which happens when water drops to a level so low that it can't move downstream from the dam. The Colorado River has long been overallocated, but climate change has worsened drought conditions in the region and reservoir levels have plummeted over the past couple of decades. As the Western United States experienced its driest two decades in at least 1,200 years, water levels in the country's two largest reservoirs, that is Lake Mead and Lake Powell, have reached record lows. Sarah Porter, director of the Kyle Center for Water Policy at Arizona State University, said the state's proposal appeared to be a very sincere commitment to advance negotiations over water cuts and keep reservoirs from falling to dangerously low levels. It's easy to overlook how difficult and complex this is for every single state, Sarah Porter said. We have to take less water out of the system, and these are the hardest negotiations to do. Water officials emphasized the proposal was not an official agreement between states, but rather a critical step towards protecting the Colorado River and eventually reaching a seven-state agreement. This modeling proposal is a key step in the ongoing dialogue among seven basin states as we continue to seek a collaborative solution to stabilize the Colorado River system. Tom Buschatzke, director of the Arizona Department of Water Resources, said in a statement. However, the failure to reach a deal marks the second time in the past 6 months that the seven states using Colorado River water have missed the deadline to agree on cuts under the Interior Department, which manages flows on the river. Historically, states have been the ones to figure out how to share the Colorado River water. But a failure to reach an agreement on reductions could place the responsibility on the federal government. The Biden administration has urged the seven states to save between 2 million and 4 million acre-feet of water, or up to a third of the river's average flow. For comparison, California is entitled to use 4.4 million acre-feet of river water per year, and Arizona is entitled to use 2.8 million acre-feet of water per year. An acre-foot of water is about what two average households consume each year. So far, Arizona has taken the brunt of the government's water reductions, particularly the state's farmers, who grow produce in the desert and use nearly three-quarters of the available water supply to irrigate their crops. The alternative outlined by the six states proposes water cuts that would nearly reach the lower end of 2 million acre-feet that federal officials have urged, with nearly all of the mandatory cuts focused on Arizona, California, and Nevada. The proposal also calls for imposing voluntary conservation measures in Colorado, New Mexico, Utah, and Wyoming. Becky Mitchell, director of the Colorado Water Conservation Board, said this approach appropriately distributes the burden across the basin and provides safeguards for the tribes, for water users, and environmental values in the upper basin. The Bureau of Reclamation is set to release in March a draft of its proposal on how it operates Glen Canyon and Hoover Dams and will consider the six states' letter as part of that plan. The Associated Press has also covered this story and tells us more. Six western states have agreed on a plan to dramatically cut their water intake from the Colorado River, but California is the lone holdout. Six western states that rely on water from the Colorado River have agreed on a model to dramatically cut their use, months after the federal government called for action and an initial deadline passed. California, with the largest allocation of water from the Colorado River, is the lone holdout. The Colorado River and its tributaries pass through seven states and into Mexico, serving 40 million people and a $5 billion a year agricultural industry. Some of the largest cities in the United States, including the cities of Los Angeles, Phoenix, Denver, and Las Vegas, two Mexican states, Native American tribes, and others, depend on the Colorado River that's been severely stressed by drought, by high demand and overuse. States missed the mid-August deadline to heed the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation's call to propose ways to conserve 2 million to 4 million acre-feet of water. They regrouped to reach consensus by the end of January to fold into a larger proposal Reclamation has in the works. Arizona, Nevada, New Mexico, Colorado, Utah, and Wyoming sent a letter on Monday, 30th of January, to Reclamation, which operates the major dams in the river system, to outline an alternative that builds on existing guidelines, deepens water cuts, and factors in water that's lost through evaporation and transportation. California, however, did not sign onto Monday's agreement, but released a proposal back in October to cut 400,000 acre-feet of water. An acre-foot is enough water to supply 2 to 3 U.S. households for a year. Tina Shields, water manager for California's Imperial Irrigation District, the single largest user of Colorado River water, declined to comment on Monday under basin-wide discussions. But she said any multi-state agreement must be legally defensible. Tina Shields said, frankly, that's what the priority system was set up for, to make long-term planning decisions. We have done so in California and looking to solve a larger Colorado River drought by pointing at those with senior water rights isn't fair. Nothing will happen immediately with the consensus reached among the six states. However, not reaching a consensus carried the risk of having the federal government alone determine how to eventually impose cuts to water use. By not signing on the deal, California doesn't avoid that risk.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, self-conditioning in self-building. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the topic of self-conditioning, one of the ways of self-building in the Islamic lifestyle. When we talk about self-conditioning, it means that we need to condition ourselves in order to stop ourselves from following the wrong path or from following some unnecessary or unwanted actions. On the other hand, we condition ourselves to perform the good actions or the things that are needed in our life. Therefore, it is necessary that when we want to have or we want to perform the self-building, one of the ways is to condition ourselves. For example, we condition ourselves in the beginning of the day that I will not perform anything that is against the Islamic teachings. I will avoid the sins. I will avoid the wrong deeds. The way we do in the month of Ramadan, for example, in the month of Ramadan, when we fast, we know that there are a couple of things that are conditioned that during the fasting you should not perform those things. For example, when we are fasting, we are obliged to not to drink anything, not to eat anything, not to perform a sin. We are obliged to fast or be hungry from the time when it starts till the time when we open the fast. So these are the simple examples that we can use, and these are the ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to be trained. So month of Ramadan and other months in which we have specific things, these are kind of workshops that trains us to how to self-condition ourselves in order to have the self-building, inshallah. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of self-conditioning in the self-building. We said that it is necessary that we condition ourselves to perform something, and we gave the example of the month of Ramadan. Similarly, on the Hajj, when we go there, that is also a workshop where we are conditioned to not to perform the things that we put on the ihram or the clothes of the Hajj. Therefore, in our daily life, we can learn from these examples, from these months, from these rituals that we practice in the month of, in the different months of Islam, or maybe at the time when we are praying in the five-time daily prayers, what we do is when we say Allahu Akbar, which is Takbiratul Ihram, after that, till the salam that we give at the end, we do not look here and there. We just pray. We focus on the prayers and we try not to eat, drink, talk to others or perform anything. Therefore, these are small examples that can help us in order to condition ourselves for the rest of the day that I will not perform anything. And therefore, if I want to have the self-reformation or self-building, therefore, if I'm conditioning myself, for example, from the Fajr prayer till Zuhr prayer, I will try not to perform any sin. And after that, I can condition myself between the Zuhr and Asr, and then from Asr till Isha or the Maghrib. So this way, I can condition myself in order to not to perform any sins, in order to not to do anything which is unwanted, unnecessary, or maybe it is something which is bad in the society. For example, teasing people, or for example, you know, performing some kind of injustice. Therefore, if I can do this, then I can go ahead towards the self-reformation in a better way, an easy way, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
In the limelight.
According to economic analysts, the rise in prices and interest rates in the United Kingdom has now become a common concern for many Britons. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. British newspaper The Guardian has covered the story. According to a survey, two-thirds of British consumers are planning to cut their discretionary spending in 2023 amid concerns about the cost of living crisis. Highlighting the pressure on families and the wider economy from inflation, the accountancy firm KPMG said 61% of consumers in a poll of 3,000 were preparing to reduce their spending on eating out, holidays and other non-essentials. The survey found concerns over the cost of basic items such as food, energy, fuel and mortgage or rent costs, as well as worries over how much further these could rise, were the biggest deterrents for discretionary spending. With inflation above 10% for the first time since the early 1980s, households across Britain have tightened their belts to accommodate soaring gas and electricity bills and the rising cost of weekly shopping, prompting the Bank of England to warn about a lengthy recession. Official forecasts show sky-high inflation will erode average real pay and cut living standards by 7% over the 2 years to the end of March 2024, wiping out the previous 8 years of growth. Highlighting the uneven impact for some families, the KPMG survey showed 1 in 10 adults have no savings. Only 4% said they would be able to increase their non-essential spending levels in 2023, while a quarter would stay at their 2022 level. Of these with savings, 43% said they were using them to help meet essential costs. This rises to more than 80% among some low-income households, reflecting the disproportionate impact of living costs on poorer families. 1 in 10 consumers highlighted concern about energy bills after April, when the government will reduce the amount of support available to families by increasing the cap on average bill from £2,500 to £3,000 for a typical household. Consumers also cited the end of fixed-term mortgage deals as well as variable-rate mortgages as barriers to their spending. KPMG said a third of consumers in Britain plan to buy more own-brand and value products in 2023, while a third would buy fewer items altogether. The most common areas for saving on discretionary spending were eating out, 46%, clothing, 42%, takeaways, 42%. Linda Ellett, UK Head of Consumer Markets, Retail and Leisure at KPMG, said current essential costs, fears of how high they'll rise, including concerns about mortgage rates and energy price changes next year, are all factors in why two-thirds of consumers that we surveyed said they have to reduce their non-essential spending in 2023. The British newspaper The Express has also covered the same story. Amid the worsening cost of living crisis this winter, new research revealed a large proportion of households in Britain are worried about losing their income at some point over the next year. Crippling housing costs have long been one of the main engines of homelessness in Britain, but soaring energy bills and record rents mean more people than ever now find themselves at risk. In order to stave off this most severe of outcomes, many have been cutting back on spending over the holidays. According to a new survey by Beam, a social impact startup helping refugees and homeless people find work and housing, 35% of people in Britain believe they're at risk of becoming homeless in 2023. Conducted in November, these fears reflect escalating concern over rising prices generally. Britain's inflation came in at 10.7% last month, only a slight fall back from the 42-year record high of 11.1% in October. Energy prices have been the main driver of inflation throughout the year, pushing up the cost of heating and using electricity for households to untenable levels, just as the winter cold sets in. Research by the International Monetary Fund, published in September, found the poorest 10% of households in Britain would be spending 17.8% of their income on energy alone in 2022. Reflecting this, just under half of the Beam survey's respondents said their housing costs have increased by as much as 22% in the past 6 months, while 32% reported worrying that costs will continue to go up over the next 6 months. The same proportion, about 32%, reported they were concerned they wouldn't be able to cover their housing costs in the near future. If costs were to rise beyond what they could afford and they'd lost their home, a quarter of Britons polled confessed they would have nowhere else to go and would be forced to live on the streets. According to the charity Crisis, homelessness can result from a loss of job, the breakdown of a relationship, or the onset of physical or mental health problems. However, the claim the most common cause is no longer being able to afford housing costs. In the year to March, a total of 133,460 families were affected by homelessness in England, the latest report from the Department of Levelling Up, Housing and Communities, an 11.3% increase on the previous year. The British newspaper The Daily Mail has also covered the same story. The cost of living crisis is affecting people's retirement plans, with millions of workers across the country deciding to cut back on their pension contributions to help pay for rising food and energy costs. New research from the Pensions Management Institute, PMI, found that in the past year, people have abandoned payments into their retirement funds to keep hold of £550 or more as high interest rates continue to bite. The research body found abandoning such savings could delay employees' plans to pack in work by 3 years, with 28% of those surveyed believing they will never be able to retire. It comes as millions of Britons face a surprise hike in energy bills from 1st of January, as the economic crisis continues to deepen. According to the Pensions Management Institute, PMI, 20% of staff have opted out of their workplace's pension scheme or asked for their contributions reduced over the last year. A further 20% are considering taking similar steps to create some extra cash to use now. By axing their pension contributions each month, those on low salaries of £20,000 a year can boost their take-home pay by around £550 a year. Those higher earners, therefore, will be able to increase their take-home each month even further. However, avoiding pension payments means that employees would miss out on their employer's tax relief,
resulting in less being saved for their later years. The Pensions Management Institute PMI surveyed 2,000 employees in November and found that 7% had taken the decision to opt out in the last 12 months. A further 13% asked to reduce their pension contributions, meaning they would miss out on parallel contributions from their employer, with a further 20% considering ceasing funding their pension pots. The number of savers feeling impact of the ongoing cost of living crisis was 40%, with three-quarters of employees having considerable concerns that the current economic crisis would have a detrimental effect on their retirement plans.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. السلام عليكم and welcome to the Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Thank you so much for joining us. Assalamu alaikum. How are you? Are you good?
Alhamdulillah.
Okay. Welcome back again. Thanks to Allah Almighty that we are, alhamdulillah, going to hold another Quranic session in level 3 of our Quranic classes, the Tajweed rules. Okay. So, as you know, that in the previous sessions, we were talking about the very first important topic in Tajweed, which was about the pronunciation of the Arabic alphabet letters, the correct pronunciations. So, Hussein Musa,
yes,
please recite this surah. We'll be listening to you.
From the beginning?
Yeah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
We will be listening to you in case you make a mistake, okay? We'll attack.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Ahsan.
ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون.
There was a mistake, right?
Yeah.
What was the mistake?
Also, بير مقابر.
بير, you said again.
Yeah, بير.
No, no, بير.
بير.
بير. Low sound, okay? A lower sound. Say it. حتى.
حتى زرتم المقابر.
مقو.
مقابر.
Yeah. Maqabir. That's nice. Maqabir.
Maqabir.
That's nice.
Kalla sawfa ta'lamun. Thumma kalla sawfa ta'lamun.
Oh, what was the mistake?
Ayn.
Ayn.
Ta'lamun.
Fix your ayn, okay?
Sir, I said
I mean not your eyes, okay? The letter ayn. If you say ta'lamun, what does it mean? Ta'lamun means they have pain, okay?
Yes.
They have pain. They are hurting, okay, themselves, for example.
I said ayn, but I said it low.
If you say ta'lamun, it means they know.
Yeah.
If you say ta'lamun, hamza, it means
they have pain.
They have pain, yes.
Two different meanings. Look, we do not say that, thumma kalla sawfa ta'lamun, then they will have pain. No. Then they will understand. Then they will know. The meaning is this, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I read it again?
Yeah, ثم.
ثم كلا سوف تعلمون.
That's good, that's good.
كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين.
أحسنت.
لترون الجحيم. ثم لترونها عين اليقين.
That's nice.
ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم.
Very good.
He didn't pronounce.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil
faraj. He didn't pronounce latarawunnal. He said ratan.
Yeah.
He didn't say with lam.
Look, two mistakes like the. Now you have. Okay. All of you have this. Thumma.
Thumma.
Okay, next one. Latarawunna. Look, anna, thumma. You have to prolong the sound, okay? Inshallah, the next sessions we'll study about the mim mushaddad and noon mushaddad, okay? Yeah. It has like a ghunna sound. Inshallah, we'll study what is ghunna sound. We'll talk about them. So, thumma, thumma, thumma. Do not say thumma. Fast, no.
Steady, okay?
Thumma.
Yeah. Thumma.
Good, good. That's it. Latus'alunna. This sound. Okay? Ali Nasir, waiting for you to recite. That was nice, Hussein Musa. Thank you so much. Allah bless you, inshallah.
Thanks.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Ahsan.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Great.
Alhaakumut takathur.
Good. Suppose it's H there, the letter H.
Yes.
Alha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hatta zurtumul maqabir.
That's good.
Kalla sawfa ta'alamun.
MashaAllah.
Thumma kalla sawfa ta'alamun. Kalla law ta'alamun al-ilma al-yaqeen. لترهن الجحيم.
That's nice.
ثم لترهنها عين اليقين.
Look, sometimes the reciters, if you have listened to Abdul Basit, okay, sometimes even that letter ha, even he does not pronounce it. Okay, how do you say? For example, ثم لترهنها.
Yeah.
Not golf, okay? It is sound like as if, because when you say it very clearly, when you recite that ha very clearly, you need to like release some breath, okay?
Yes.
Look how much breath you release, okay? So you have to pay attention, okay? That's nice.
ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم.
ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم.
ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم.
أحسن.
ما شاء الله.
اللهم
صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم.
If you see the Holy Quran in Surah Muzammil, ayat number 20, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, and recite as much as possible from the Quran. As much as possible.
ربنا ما خلقت هذا.
That's why they say one of the beauties of the eloquence of the fasahat and balaghat of the Quran is that whenever you open the Quran, it's as if it speaks to you today very, very clearly.
The Quran is a covenant of God for His creature. It is misaq. It is covenant for His servants. It is necessary for the Muslims to read this covenant and recite 50 verses every day.
Hussain Ruhullah, recite it. A'udhu billah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
ما شاء الله حسين روح الله okay.
ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم
Again.
لترون الجحيم
again
لترون الجحيم
again
so what is the mistake
there is no mistake uh-huh. I just wanted to make sure do you believe yourself that you're reciting it correctly or no
self confidence
there was no mistake I just wanted okay go on
ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عَيْنَ الْيَقِينَ
Okay, repeat this time. Of course, you didn't have any mistake.
ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عَيْنَ الْيَقِينَ
Good.
ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ
أحسنت. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعجل Sometimes when we have like oral exams, okay? So when we go to the teacher, he's trying to ask us, okay, oral exams. So he asks us a question. When we give the answer, he says, yeah, that? We say, yes. He says, what? A lot of times, okay, he's trying to make us, like...
change the answer.
Yeah, change the answer. That answer is the exact answer, okay? There's no other answer, but he's trying, like, to confuse us. That's why I tried on him, okay? It worked. There wasn't any mistake. Look, for example, I'm reading the word, okay? It is min ba'de. He says min ba'du. I recite min ba'de. He says min ba'du. I say... Ya ba'du. Then he says, min ba'da. He's trying to confuse us, okay? So in this case, you have to be careful. So sometimes I do this, okay? I use my teacher's trick here, okay? I try on you. So, be careful. Go on, Fawad, Haider. Recite it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Ahsan, that's nice. Bismillah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Great.
ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر
أحسنت
كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون
Good.
كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم
أحسنت
ثم لترونها عين اليقين
Next ayah.
ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم
That's it عن النعيم اللهم
صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
ألهاكم التكاثر
Competition in worldly increase diverts you.
حتى زرتم المقابر
Until you visit the graveyards.
كلا سوف تعلمون
No, you are going to know.
ثم كلا سوف تعلمون
Then, no, you are going to know.
كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين.
No, if you only knew with knowledge of certainty.
لترون الجحيم.
You will surely see the hellfire.
ثم لترون عين اليقين
then you will surely see it with the eye of certainty. Then you will surely be asked that day about pleasure.
Very good. Thank you so much. Now there is one more surah. So I want you to challenge me, okay?
Okay. We give you a
chance. I really challenge you.
Okay. Challenge accepted.
Accepted?
Yes. So okay. Now you will bring Surah Muzammil or Rahman.
Muzammil or Rahman? No, no, not these two surahs. There is a small surah, okay? But I really challenge you. Let's see, inshallah. No, after reciting the salawat, inshallah, we'll recite this surah, okay?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajam.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.